Are you gay?
Geeky?
Just enjoy hearing your Good Judy's dish about the latest in pop culture?
Well, then you're in luck.
The boys of Flame On are here for you.
In every episode, we discuss the topics that entrance us.
Whether it's comics, TV,
movies,
drag queens,
or video games,
we've got you covered.
So, if you're ready for your gay and geeky slice of pop culture life,
then sit back and get ready to
Flame On!
In 2017, videos from the Pentagon show U.S. fighter pilots mesmerized by a UFO. We've been told that this is the real deal, but I know from covering this stuff, nothing is ever what it seems.
This is f***ing real, and it's not all good.
I'm MJ Benias, and from Something Else, this is Fringe Network, Alien State. Listen now wherever you get your podcasts.
Spandex makes me horny. Shut up, Dad. Shut up, Dad. Shut up, Dad. Shut up, Dad. Bitch, it's just kidding. No, for real. I'm serious. This is Jess. Just kidding. You don't know who I am? Get the fuck out. Shut up, Jess. Shut up, Jess. Drag is the new sex.
What's going on, everybody? Patrick Bear here, and we are back again. Welcome to my version of the Pit Stop, y'all. We are here to talk RuPaul's Drag Race. I was just going to call it Drag Race. I wasn't going to put the respect on her name. No matter what you think about her, she deserves the respect on her name. It's RuPaul's Drag Race, All Stars, Season 7, All Winners, All Stars, All Legends, Statements, Icons. I was just starting to throw other terminology out there. But we are back to talk about it. This season has been amazing, and I am so happy to be chatting about it. Joel, our house member and longtime listener and friend, was my first guest. BJ, who has not watched a Drag Race season in many a year, was my last guest, and now joining me on this episode of our RuCap, I have it's been a couple of years. I don't count the last, 2 years as being part of any real time frame or continuum of anything, but we became friends through the internets as a listener of our show and just an overall great sounding board for opinions and commentary. And we may not always agree, but that is why they are a great person to have on this show. Fellow podcasters, along with myself, this is Luke, everybody. Luke, what's going on?
Hello, Pat. This is going to be fun because, as you pointed out, we don't agree. And our friendship has basically come from discussions about Drag Race in which you and I have very differing opinions. So we'll see how this goes.
Oh, ma'am. I've had a couple of beverages, adult beverages.
Okay.
So we'll see how lively this conversation gets.
Well, I have not had any, so I will roll with the punches. No puns intended.
We're not in the same room, so thankfully there will not be any actual fisticuffs being levied amongst ourselves while we are talking RuPaul's Drag Race. So that'll be great. You have been a podcaster for many a year. And one of our other shared passions is the world of soap operas.
Yes, I think we've talked about a few over the years.
Yeah, I haven't. So I've watched a couple. I'm down to one. There's only one still left. And that was really because I had no other choice. ABC canceled the two that I watched regularly. So I just kind of said, okay, well, I guess I'll just join the last one that's around. But I will say, this. One of my favorite things that has ever happened was a friend of mine who I became friends with during the pandemic, Lovato, and is like my long distance pen pal friend. Last weekend, messaged me because BJ and I recorded, not even last weekend. Well, when everybody out there in the listening world is hearing this, it'll be last weekend. But when we're recording this, it was only a couple of days ago, because BJ and I sat down and we recorded our All-Star 7 episode 3 recap. And then right afterwards, we recorded our Moon Knight microsode. And during our Moon Knight microsode, we talked about DID. And
oh boy.
I mentioned that my cursory knowledge of DID was from One Life to Live.
Oh boy. If that's the basis for it, then
No, actually, the second time around, when Jessica was suffering from DID, it was very much based in the science, which I was very impressed with. But my friend Jamie texted me and said something along the lines of, I was listening to the Moon Knight episode, and when you were talking about how you knew about DID, I thought, if he says One Life to Live, I'm going to throw my phone across the room.
The moment you said DID, I knew that you were going for One Life to Live, because between Vicky and Jessica, who I think on DC, we called her Messica. I mean, that is a depiction. I'll leave it at that. Acting was great. The acting was good, but it was a depiction. There were choices made.
The science behind it, though, was pretty fucking on point. Listen, going and reading about DID afterwards, they actually, I mean, it wasn't Passions level, like, ridiculous. It may not have been the best storyline in the world, but even them going back and recrafting Vicky's storyline, because when they did Vicky Nikki storyline, they still called it multiple personalities, and it was very much the old school verbiage and terminology and science behind it. When they revisited the storyline and they brought in Jean and as the gatekeeper and all of these things, they really leaned into proper scientific terminology and the more nuanced form of DID. So I'm not mad that was something that gave me a little, that informed me and my understanding of DID. But yes, we do share the love of the stories, as my mom and my grandma would call them, the stories. We got the stories. But that is not what we're here to discuss. That is, and we will chat about your podcast. If there are other soap opera listeners out there, Luke does host and run a couple of podcasts that we will mention at the end of the show. We got to have you stick around for something, but
can't not have a tease.
Exactly, we got to tease it now. That way we can pay it off at the end of this episode.
Exactly.
But we are here to discuss RuPaul's Drag Race All-Stars Season 7, Episode 43. And by that, I just mean Episode 4. We are talking Fairy Tale Justice. So, when we start this episode, the queens all return to the workroom after taking part in the Realness of Fortune Ball. What were your thoughts? What did you think overall? If you were to sum it up in one or two sentences, what were your thoughts on the Realness of Fortune Ball?
I loved it. I thought it was a ton of fun. There were some unexpected surprises, but overall, it was a ton of fun. I have been, you mentioned earlier, and you've mentioned this on previous episodes, because I've listened to all of your recaps thus far. This has been a fantastic season. And so far, I'm on board for everything. And that's good to hear coming from you, because there have been times that you have stated on the podcast and then also in chat where you're like, I'm just not feeling it. So it's very nice to have you be reinvigorated about Drag Race.
Well, so I will. Okay. This is a season of returning queens. Most of the time when there is a queen that returns to a season, I'm not a huge fan of them. Not always in a good or bad way. Like, I have no problem with Cynthia Lee Fontaine. I'm not a Miss Vanjie fan. I love her mother. Alexis is just, I think, is a phenomenal queen. I'm not a huge Eureka fan. She is a sweet person. I do not like her on the show. When we work together.
I adore Eureka on the show.
I can't stand Eureka on the show. in season, what was it, 9 or 10? But when we worked together, Eureka was a lovely person. Their assistant was a lovely person. And I know that a TV show is not the person. So when it comes down to it, whenever I talk about a person, for 99% of the time, when I say that I don't like a queen, I don't like the person they are on the show. I almost never talk about them as... I don't like them as the person that they are, except for this season. There is one person I feel that way about, but this season is all returning queens who I know, who I already, whether or not I love them on their season, I already have a connection to. So it makes it so much easier to be invested from the go. I don't watch the Meet the Queens videos. I don't watch a lot of that other stuff that when a season is announced, mostly because I just don't, it doesn't appeal to me as a viewer. I want to see the queen in action. I want to see what they do. I want to see them in their element in the competition. If they wow me, then great. There are very few seasons lately that the queens jump off the page or off the screen at me in the first couple of episodes. It usually takes me a couple of episodes to really enjoy what I'm watching. It hasn't been since probably season 6 where I, like, season 6 is for me, the epitome of this franchise. These were queens that were just themselves, entertaining, knew what they were doing, and there was very little playing to the audience, playing to what they felt was going to be their persona, minus
the brand they're building.
Yeah, and I feel like that was the end of innocence of the franchise. Starting in season 7, it was very much about, how am I going to be perceived? How can I get the most airtime? How can I do all of this? And that's including friend of the pod, Ginger Minj. I mean, she said it on one of our episodes, our interviews together. She would say whatever it would take to get that light on her. And then season 8 kind of dialed that back a little bit, but it was also really fucking short because there was only, what, 12 queens and 10 episodes? And then it moved to VH1, and since then, it's become a cultural phenomenon. And the queens are getting death threats, and the queens are getting so much hatred and abuse online that they have to think about how this is being portrayed. And it takes away from the magic of the show until they settle into it, for me.
What I find interesting about that is two things. Season 14, for me, felt like the queens were actually being the realest that they've been in a while. And I also think that it's interesting that the international versions, España, Italy, Holland, will soon be getting France. A lot of the queens there, even though they know what the franchise is, are still more real than what we've gotten in recent seasons from the American queens, who are worried about how they're going to be perceived. There's more organic drama on the international versions now sometimes than there are in the regular seasons of Drag Race for me when I'm watching it. But I did think that even though there was the worst snatch game in history, there was plenty of drama amongst the queens in season 14 that had been sort of like everybody was more guarded in like 10 through 13, if you want to go there. So for me, I thought that was interesting.
So I will agree with you for one queen. Dia Betty did not give a flying fuck. And Dia really was Dia acted and carried herself in an early seasons way, where she was very outspoken and was like, I'm just going to say what I say. And for the most part, you know, owned up to all of that. The rest of the girls, I don't feel that way about. But because Dia was there through, aside from that, the one episode that she was in episode two, went home and was back in episode three. So from episode two until the finale, she was there in every episode and contributed to. If you look at where the drama was, it was all centered around Dia.
It was Dia, Jasmine, and Cornbread until Cornbread was gone.
Yes. But, I mean, and even Cornbread's wasn't drama-y. I didn't always appreciate how Cornbread handled it, but it was less a matter of, like, how would this be perceived. But if you look at Jasmine's drama with Cornbread was one thing, but then the rest of her drama was with Dia.
Right.
And then anything with Georges was with Dia, and anything with anybody else was with Dia for the most part. Well,
no, I agree. Like, Dia definitely was the driver of drama, but I felt like there were times when Georges and other of the queens would be willing to, like, push back in a way that we wouldn't have necessarily seen in some other recent seasons. I just feel like there was a little bit more, like, Dia definitely drove the drama. There's no question about that. I just felt that there was more pushback this season than we'd seen in a while, or in that season than we'd seen in a while.
Yes, because Dia, I mean, and it, regardless of any other drama was very light, but Dia was very Jeremy, aka, you know, FKA Fifi. She was very, this is a RuPaul's best friend race. She was very early season RuPaul's Drag Race. And I love that about her, because that is more realistic. But if you look at the backlash, if you look at the social media backlash, and I think that España, Holland, I still have not watched Italy. I watched, I think, two episodes. Italy just did not grab me in any way, shape, or form. I don't think, and this is going to sound bad, but I think it's a lot of America, and a lot of Americans on social media feel very entitled to speak their piece or threaten or say shit that no sane human should do. And so I think that the girls in the other countries don't deal with it in the same magnitude.
I wonder which how is the UK why they girls can still get it.
Yeah, I don't know. And I mean, even the UK girls aren't as well. I mean, honestly, look at Lawrence in season two.
Yes.
Yeah, Lawrence won season two. When Lawrence when Lawrence had that moment of being really cunty to Ellie after the comedy challenge, stand up. Whatever it was, whichever, like, comedy roast challenge or whatever that they did, where Ellie got to choose the order and Lawrence was a bitch to her, the fandom fucking were absolute assholes. So I think there is a little bit more to that. I feel like if RuPaul is involved, there is a little more viewership, which lends to the fandom being a little bit more vocal.
Well, and it could also be the fact that it's also in English, so the people aren't having to read subtitles in order to watch it.
Well, true. Very true. But I mean, I don't think Canada has suffered as much, although Jeffrey Boyer Chapman might disagree, the guest judge of this episode.
Which I have a question about that when we get to that part of the show.
I don't know if I'll have an answer, but we will try. So we have gone off on a whole tangent here. So let's bring it all back around. Since we talked to Jeffrey Boyer Chapman, let's talk about All Stars Season 7, Episode 4. This is Fairy Tale Justice. This is a take and an updating of All Stars 4's Jersey Justice Challenge. The queens are tasked with essentially putting on a court case for fairy tales. The first one being a little bit more straightforward. The second one being a mishmash of a couple of different fairy tales. Since Trinity and Jada were the winners of the Realness of Fortune Ball, Rue decides that they will be the captains for this week's Maxi Challenge. And they have to do a schoolyard pick to choose their teams. With Jada being the winner of the lip sync, getting to go first and choosing the person who she blocked, Miss Jinx Monsoon, as her first choice, and Roger being the last picked. What did you think of the way that the queens picked their teams?
I think that Jada is becoming the unintentional, like, I don't know if it's intentional or accidental, but she's becoming the accident, from my perspective as a viewer, the accidentally smartest, most smart person on the cast, because she blocks Jinx and then she immediately picks her again because she knows that if there's going to be a competition with acting, you get the best actor and then you live up to what they set the benchmark for, and it only makes you look better. And so from that perspective, I was like, Jada, I don't know if you have a strategy. You seem to be saying that you don't have one and you're just coming in and like enjoying yourself. But whether accidental or not, I thought that the fact that she blocked Jinx and then picked her was fantastic strategy. I thought both teams were fairly well matched. I was a little bit... How do I put this? I was a little bit curious about Raja and where she would end up, just because I only enjoyed one of her Snatch Game roles. And so I was curious as
sorry,
to
what ma'am, her, we are ending this interview right now.
Oh, was
leave
going to be.
Meeting. Leave meeting.
She was good. And I was just like, okay, I like Raja. I totally respect her fashion talent. She is amazing. But this was a clarifying reminder or a refresher. And I guess Rue sort of puts it on the thing. It's like everybody who was around when when Raja was around the first time is dead. And so it was like, okay, this is another opportunity for Raja to remind the young people or the newer viewers like myself who may have started in later seasons and then had to go back and watch, and of who she is, what she can do. And I thought that played out really well in this Fairy Tale Justice.
I know, because I mean, I'm actually reporting to you live from the afterlife because... I mean, I may not have watched it live, but goddamn, I mean, I didn't start much later than Raja's season. So, you know, I get it. But I can only hope that you mean that you didn't feel as much love for Deanna Vreeland, because her madam was fucking spectacular.
No, madam was what I loved about that. Okay. I thought that was hilarious, but I thought that madam was wonderful. I thought that it brought a lot of brevity to the beginning of the first Snatch Game. But I also felt that it was a little bit cheating because she was able to hide her face behind it. It was almost like Valentina, like trying to do a lip sync with the mask on. She's just having to do arm movements and vocals. We're not actually seeing what she's doing with her face because it's hidden behind a mask.
There's nothing that requires needing the face in Snatch Game. If your jokes are not funny, then your jokes are not funny.
I understand, but that's why I was concerned about her acting, because I didn't really remember what she could do in the acting department. I'm like, it's one thing to put on a mask and wave your arms. It's another thing to actually go in and do improv. And so I was just a little bit nervous.
I mean, I guess. But Snatch Game is a huge improv challenge. So I will say this, and spoiler alert, I don't feel that Raja was robbed for a third week in a row.
I don't either.
There's a lot of talk online about whether or not Raja should have placed top two. I think Raja should have placed top two in Snatch Game. And that's partially because I don't think that Trinity's like her Leslie Jordan was great, but she basically played two characters that were herself. And there wasn't a lot of change in what she did between the two. It was two hyper feminine homosexual characters that for the most part sounded like her.
So here's what
I'm not- they were still fun. I'm not going to discount the fact that they were fun, but I feel like Raja, there was a bigger difference in her two characters, and they were both as funny.
I think that when it comes to the top two, the way the seasons or the episodes are playing out for me and my observation is that you have to excel in all three stages. Or like if there's two Snatch Games in a runway, or if there's three looks on a runway and there's one challenge, whatever the case is, you've got to excel in all of them, and you can't drop the ball on a single one. And there have been people like Raja, which I forget his name, where she, like it was the Queen, Bob the Drag Queen thing.
Before and after. Olivia Newton-John Waters.
Right. Yeah. The John Waters, like...
I agree. And if you listen to the last episode,
right.
the last recap, yeah, totally agree with you on
but
that.
But what I'm saying is that right there is a perfect example of you can't drop the ball on a single thing if you're going to want to get into the top two. And at least in Trinity's case with Snatch Game is both of hers were strong enough, and then her runway was also strong. I felt like she was deserving of top two. Now, whether or not she wins the lip sync, that's an entirely different thing. But there are people like Evie. Evie's had some great individual moments, but she hasn't been consistent through an entire episode.
Well, and I will say this. I do not agree with you on the runway playing into the challenges if the challenge is not runway. Last episode, okay. Realness of Fortune, yes. That was three runway looks, and you had to nail them. Raja did not nail the before and after category. Her, listening to like Ray Chaser and listening to some other stuff, putting Trinity above her in the Vanna White realness, I don't agree with. It was a beautiful dress, but Raja as 80s Vanna White, I think, won that category for me. Her before and after... did not. She failed.
It was bad.
There.
Yeah.
It was a great Sandy. It wasn't bad. It was a great Sandy. There was very little John Waters. And right. That was a fail of the category.
Yep.
She looks stunning. But had she done older makeup and done like a bald head and done a John Waters look on her head, I think she would have slayed it. It would have been great.
Agreed. Absolutely agree.
Her Realness of Fortune, beautiful. So she was a 2 out of 3. Jada and Trinity, I'll give you that. Cool. I don't think she was robbed in that episode. In the Snatch Game episode, it really was on the challenge. And I think it could have gone either way for Trinity or Raja. Jinx, no matter what Jinx did on the runway, no matter what Jinx did in the lip sync, after that Judy Garland...
That was the single best Snatch Game ever.
If they had given it to anybody, literally, and I said this in the recap when Joel and I were talking about it, but I read a tweet that said Jinx could have stood there and done nothing during that lip sync, and they still would have given her the win because her snatch game was that amazing.
Yep.
Like her runway wasn't the best of that episode, but she did such an amazing job in the challenge. I kind of feel like the runway is your, if you don't do great in the challenge, it can be your make or break. But we've also seen where you don't do well in the challenge and your runway can be amazing and you still end up at the bottom. Evie and Brooklyn being that for season 11.
And in this
Brooklyn slayed that runway.
In this week's episode, I think it's another example of where the challenge is what got her into the top two, because let's face it, her runway looked like an old West madam who had got a porcupine pelt on her back. I mean, that's what it looked like for her on the runway. And so, but she was amazing in the challenge. But like, when she came out on the runway in that gown, I'm like, how many whores are working for you? And like, and where did you get the porcupine pelt?
I didn't mind it. I mean, I will say this entire runway wasn't
bad, but it was a weird outfit for this.
This entire runway was not like, if I was going to try to get somebody hooked on Drag Race for runways, I would not show them this runway.
No.
Not saying that any of them were horrible, because none of them were.
There was one.
No, and yes, we will fight about this. I've had enough cocktails that I I will mute you. I'm sorry, dear listeners. You will not hear what he has to say about this because we're going to fight.
There was not live up to the standards, and I will only say that you will notice that they did not include a Michelle commentary about said individual, and she weighed almost everybody else.
Michelle has not done commentary for everybody, because some of the queens have talked about how they have not only, I forget which queen said it, but they said like only the guest judge gave them critiques. Oh my goodness, who was it? I think in episode one.
This season,
we will not disgrace that name in this house.
This season, with all the gushing that has gone on about these queens, there are some basic principles of Drag Race, like One Pieces and other things that would normally get someone taken to the woodshed in a regular season, and yet those things are not being brought up, and one of those was not like the others on the runway.
Well, first of all, nobody's going home, so they don't need to criticize the same way. There is no point in doing that because there isn't a bottom.
No,
there's nobody going home.
But like, there's not even feedback of like, you could have done, it could have been a little bit more elevated. Right, right.
That but
that's
we
what I'm
seeing.
That's what I'm saying from a perspective of the show. The fact
but
that
it doesn't matter. Like, why would we need to see that though? Why do we need to see people being shit on in an all winter season?
I'm not saying that they need to be shit.
Because you're going
to
shit on them, and I'm going to be mad about this. Because I'm still mad about it, because you already sent these comments over.
Well, we talked about it in the chat pre-podcast, but...
I didn't respond back because I was like, we're going to wait, and we're going to talk about this.
We're going
to talk about this on the show.
Right. But, like, I thought overall the runway was pretty strong. I thought that Vivian did a great job, and we're jumping to the runway without finishing the skits. But, like, the first skit, Jinx was amazing. And I think that that's what got her onto the runway, because her runway wasn't, something that I would say was top two worthy.
Okay, let's just dive in. Okay, so Fairy Tale Justice. So the first team of Jinx, Jada, Monet, and Evie are doing essentially the case of the three little pigs, where one of the pigs is suing the big bad wolf for blowing their house down. The second pig is her character witness. And then in a surprise twist, the third little pig is the girlfriend and the character witness for the big bad wolf. What were your thoughts on this skit overall?
overall, I really enjoyed it. Jinx definitely stole the show with it, though. Her one lines like only hams, the ASMR, the pictures of my hooves, all of that stuff. She was just brilliant. And then the physical comedy when she enters it and tries to close the door and then does it three times as how she is like walks into the courtroom. I thought she did really well. Jada coming in as the Instagram pig, and how she just rolled with the punches and how Jinx and Jada just sort of became this duo. I was like, I need them to have their own comedy show on WoW Presents Plus because they're a lot of fun to watch.
Nobody will watch it.
Well, Evie, to me, Evie felt a little bit like a knockoff of her Snatch Game, but she stated at the beginning that she was thinking about doing a spin on it. So that was intentional. I thought that she really had good moments where she adapted to what was being said and what was going on. And her unexpected chemistry with Michelle was sort of like made me go, hmm. So I enjoyed that. Monet, I love Monet. She came in, but after like not even noticing really the pig snouts on the other two sisters, the fact that hers was not blended, I was like, this is like a one of those fake tattoos. I mean, you just.
Oh, yeah, that was so obvious.
It was like I would have expected some blending. I mean, you're not doing a significant amount of makeup for this costume and you're putting on a wig that doesn't really need to be too much prepped. So the least you could do is blend your nose.
Well, you don't know how much prep her wig took. You don't know how much.
I'm saying by comparison to like runway looks or other things, well, this true. Is not something that
well, requires... she's using those pussycat wigs for the runway.
That's true. That's true. That is very true. Touche. Touche. Point well taken.
I wonder though, because I mean, like, were they? I want to know about the prosthetics. Was this something that like they had somebody come in and help with, and maybe it just did not take on her? Because, I mean, you don't know that you're going to have to like. I guarantee you, they did not bring pig nose prosthetics with them, right. Nor practice with them. So I don't want to judge her on the pig nose prosthetic if there was something outside of her control.
Did I notice that
in the challenge? Yes, because it definitely was not as well. I didn't, like you were saying, I did not notice Jinx or Jada.
Right.
But I noticed Monet.
And that was the only thing. Like, you are absolutely correct. There could have been something production related that prevented her from doing it. And I'm totally willing to grant you that. But as a viewer, when you're just in the moment and you're watching it and you have two people come in and you haven't noticed it on them, and then all of a sudden it looks like a scab that's ready to be pulled off on her, it feels really weird.
It does. But I mean, it didn't impact the performance. No. It didn't impact the sketch. So
no.
You know, that's at least the one good thing. If it were any other season, it probably would have been a thing where they were like, oh, well, your nose, blah, 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 whatever.
Right.
But I think overall, I agree with you on a lot of it. It was an interesting challenge. Jinx, I think, did an amazing job. Jada as a Twiggy / Twiggly.
Yep.
Kind of character was cute. I was a little worried because Jada doesn't always have the best improv history with the show. And I don't think she stole the show, but I think she... that's about the best that we got out of her. Although I will say, I still, to this day, will go... and like, you know, do her Prince shenanigans from Snatch Game. Because, I mean, it's just stupid. And
right,
I love it.
Right.
But I think she held her own to season 5 Jinx and like that improv, not All-Star 7 Jinx. Monet, who I think suffers sometimes in improv, was probably even keel with Jada in that respect. There were some things that she did that I thought were hysterical. Like when she would snort, like some of those things were just, they were just great. The thing I think that put it over the top was the interview with RuPaul afterwards.
Okay.
When they walked out of that courtroom and Jinx's ear fell off.
That was wonderful.
When was it? I think it was Jada was talking. Uh-huh. And literally out of nowhere, Jinx just goes, Jesus Christ. And she's like, I'm so stressed. My ear fell off. And then Rue is like, what's going on? You're going to have to talk louder. I can only hear out of one ear.
I only have 50% of the hearing or however that was.
Yes. Oh, my God. That was everything.
It was everything. But here's the thing. I was semi-traumatized. I did not ever need to see RuPaul Charles as a very tall Dobby the house elf ever. It was
in her
like,
flip-flops?
Right.
She was living her best motherfucking life.
Oh, she was. She was. But I did not need to see Rue as Dobby. I was like, no.
I fucking loved it. Oh, my God. No, it was so much fun.
I have been traumatized. I have been traumatized.
So much fun. I thought it was hysterical. I was like, ma'am, what are you doing in flip-flops in this sketch right now? But whatever, bitch. I mean, like, it's your show. You've been doing this for a millennia at this point. Go for it.
I'm not from Jersey. I've only landed in an airport there. I've not spent significant amount of times, but I was like, Dobby, the tall house elf from Jersey is what I'm now watching. And I'm like, okay.
Or well, Soprano, I mean, they're in the fairy tale maybe. Land.
Well, that's true. That's true.
They're not in Michelle's neck of the woods. This isn't Drag Race Jersey. Oh my God. Okay. So
can you imagine if he'd had Snooki hair on?
That would have been everything. I already loved it. I'd have fucking died. I'd have pissed myself. If that
he would
was
have
case.
Been in that tracksuit with those ears on and Snooki hair, it would have been epic.
It would have been everything. All right. So skit scat number two is a combination of Little Red Riding Hood, Hansel and Gretel, and I feel like three other things that I'm not even
Goldilocks,
thinking about right now.
Little Red Riding
Goldilocks,
Hood.
Oh, Goldilocks. That's yes.
Hansel and Gretel.
But and I feel like there was something else that was incorporated in that was like some weird thing. Like I feel like one of Vivian's characters like was not one of those three stories, and it whatever. It still worked. Plus a mixture of the Big Bad Wolf, because obviously we're going from the Three Little Pigs into Little Red Riding Hood. So the Big Bad Wolf. Evie plays double duty, and we have Raja, Trinity, the Vivian, and oh God, who am I missing?
Shay.
Oh, that's right.
There's a reason yes, you Shay forgot her. There's a reason you forgot her.
Yeah, I didn't love her. Yeah, I didn't love her in this challenge. So she was fine, but it was
Shay's Snatch Game wasn't my favorite, and this was her choices here were not my favorite. I totally respect her most of the time for her fashion choices, but improv is not her strong suit.
It can be because it's her Flavor Flav, her Flavor Flav. Well, I mean, it's the same with Monet. Her Flavor Flav was phenomenal. And I think overall she wasn't horrible, but she as Bob, who was Bob's pit stop co-host this week? Oh, Nasha Lopez. Bitches, I'm back. One of the Reprise, it's called Reprise, series on YouTube that I watch always includes the clip of Nasha coming back into the workroom in season 8. So it was a season 8 reunion on the pit stop. But they commented on the fact that she just kind of went full Karen in the skit, and there were no other levels to it. And I think that's what it was. It was very one note. It wasn't a bad performance.
I found
it just didn't live up to where everybody else was.
Right. So it's like when they do the roast or the stand-up comedy challenges, the first person and the last person, the most important people in the challenge to be able to set the tone and then wrap it up. When she came into this challenge, she did not set a good tone on which everybody else could build. It was very monotone. It was more like her reading off a list, like a formal police report, as opposed to her doing actual improv. And Vivian was trying to roll with it, but she wasn't getting very much because it was so dry. It wasn't until Raja came in and sort of saved it. And then with a little prior to Raja's arrival, Michelle was having to do some of the heavy lifting there. And so I felt like Vivian was sort of on her own unless Michelle helped, because Shay was so monotone in that role.
Yeah. No, I agree with you on that. I mean, she looks stunning. I will always love a bear.
Her nose was blended. Her nose was blended. If we're doing a callback to the previous segment,
I will always, anytime a bear is involved, I'm there, you know, it's how I do. But yeah, it didn't give me levels, and I wanted levels. I wanted to feel more Shay in this, and it felt scripted versus being able to improv it. Vivian, on the other hand, I thought was phenomenal right from the jump.
Well, we knew that she was going to be good at this type of thing from UK season 1.
We didn't, though. We only had a slight snippet, a little taste of it. We knew she did a great Trump.
Was fantastic, or her Trump was fantastic, not Margaret Thatcher. That was Baga.
Baga, yeah. But I mean, like she said in the confessional, they didn't do an improv challenge. So it was, we didn't really get to like have a wider scope. We were like, okay, this is, we know that she's got the chops. We didn't really see a huge showing from her in this snatch game. So it was kind of like, okay, well, what are we going to see? And I mean, if you read the editing, you could tell that there was going to be a big focus on her, because it was very much, I'm coming out swinging for this next challenge. This badge is mine to win. This is blah, blah.
Yep.
You know, like, this bitch is like having PTSD fucking flashbacks of her season getting badges. But
hey, she's finally won some money.
I mean, fuck yes. I mean, after I would say she's the first British queen, but that was Lady Camden. But yes, finally some money in her pocket for winning something on a Drag Race competition.
go ahead.
Okay, I was going to say, I wasn't 100% sure of how she was going to do, but she impressed me so much with it. Between the accents, between her really just kind of taking charge of her character, I think she was marvelous in this skit.
Absolutely. The fact that like she was Goldilocks, Little Red Riding Hood, Hansel and Gretel, and the fact that she was rolling with the punches. And I think afterwards in one of the commentary segments, she was like, I wasn't sure exactly what was going on, but I just went with it. And she did fantastic. I actually wonder if Trinity and Shay had been reversed, if Shay would have looked better, because Trinity coming in with all the stomping, the swirling, the very dynamic personality, if Trinity had come in with all of that as the opening, and then you have Raja, which is bent over, the old Golden Girls type, and then you have Shay as the Karen, that could have all worked. And so I wonder if their skit wasn't self-sabotaged by the order in which the queens were introduced.
I mean, I don't think so. I think they would have done, if there was some shifting of, if think of Trinity and Shay had changed, it might have been a little different. I think Raja was really well suited to Grandma Hood. I don't know. The Trinity as the witch in the forest that Hansel and Gretel ate her house, like that was fine. I wasn't mad at any of their performances overall. I did not connect to the skit as much as the first one, I think Viv was the standout. I don't think any of the other girls rose to the level of Viv in this challenge. I think as an ensemble, even though Jinx, well, I'm, but in this half of the challenge,
okay, got it,
I should say. In this skit, I should say. I apologize. I don't think out of this group of four or five, if you include Evie, Evie was the closest. And she wasn't technically a part of this team. Jinx, even though she really outshone, I think Evie was still really good. I think the other two girls were at a they gave levels and they gave a feel of like, okay, this feels very cohesive. I didn't feel that same way about skit number two. I think Viv ran away with it so much. And that's not taking anything away from anybody because they all did great. But I think if I'm looking at this, I'm saying, okay, Jinx and the Vivian are your clear one and two this week.
My gosh. In 2017, videos from the Pentagon show U.S. fighter pilots mesmerized by a UFO. We've been told that this is the real deal, but I know from covering this stuff, nothing is ever what it seems.
This is f***ing real, and it's not all good.
I'm MJ Banias, and from Something Else, this is Fringe Network, Alien State. Listen now wherever you get your podcasts.
I absolutely agree with you on that. What I found interesting about the two skits is, as a cohesive whole, the first one was much stronger. But outside of, if you set Jinx aside, who, after having watched Snatch Game, you just know that she's in a league of her own, I felt like the one-liners were better from the second skit. Because, I mean, the stuff that was going on with Raja making up stories, making up stuff, and then Trinity coming in and her, whatever she said didn't match up with what Raja and Shay had said, but Vivian was still rolling with it. I felt like the way that the individual lines or the zingers or the adaptation of the queens to each other was a little bit better, but as a skit, as a whole, the first one was better.
I think that lends itself to when you can outshine a group, but still bring them up. I think that's huge.
Agreed.
And yes, I mean, you're telling one story in the first skit. You're telling 14 stories in the second skit. It's always going to get muddy and be less cohesive. So I think they were at a disadvantage regardless by trying to tell four different stories or three different stories. And I think skit one, in my opinion, was the stronger of the two skits.
I agree.
But Viv, phenomenal. Overall, I think it was a very cute challenge to try to go back to the well of something of along the lines of that Jersey Justice skit from AS4 was a choice. And I think overall I was not mad about them redoing, like, quote unquote, redoing a challenge like this.
What did you think of Rue asking Vivian if she had learned anything? And she was like, fuck no.
Well, I mean, she's a compulsive liar. Right. I think it was perfectly in character. And I think I enjoyed it. Like, honestly, I think they cemented their wins in that post courtroom sketch with Rue, partially because they were dealing with Rue directly.
I hadn't thought of it that way, but that makes absolute sense.
Yeah, I feel like that was definitely, and I will never not think about Jesus Christ, like, and for the Jew in the group to say that, like, it just even it makes it even funnier. Oh, Jinx, fucking love it. All right, so the challenge is over. Let's hit the runway. Category is spikes on the runway. I don't want to ask this question.
Well, maybe before you ask that question, let me just say, because this may also be unpopular, I was not a fan of Rue's outfit this week. Like, there are weeks where she looks stunning, but whatever she was wearing this week was not flattering.
I mean, I don't remember it, but I feel like from what I can remember. Oh, wait, no. Let me hold on.
It was blue and it had cowboy tassel stuff on it, like something like that. And like it was a blue velvet with tassels. And I was like, no.
But it wasn't a full blue velvet. I pulled a picture up.
I was not a fan. I thought her hair was amazing because she looks great in white and blonde wigs, but the dress was not flattering.
I love the design on the bodice area. I don't like the sleeves all the way into gloves. Like, I don't like that. I don't like the fact that the top is like a sheer and then the bottom is a velvet. Like, I don't think this is her best look at all. From the neck up, beautiful. The bodice area, I kind of love that sequiny pattern. I don't love the neck pattern. I love from like tits to belly button. I like that pattern. I like that. In my world, it is not an unpopular opinion to say that this is not Rue's strongest look. This runway in general, not a strong runway overall.
Let's talk about the positive before we get to the negative, maybe.
Bitch, no. Let's just fight now.
Okay.
All right. What are your lowlights?
The lowlights. Evie. A bodysuit and some insect arms that Onyx did better in season 2 of Espana, looks way better in Espana than Evie. And then for Michelle to call it groundbreaking and all this other stuff, I was like, have you watched your own spinoff series?
Because no, Onyx, because they were so filmed around the same time. There is not time for them to watch it or to copy each other.
Let me finish.
No. Because,
listen, I have listened to your podcast for a very long time, and there have been on many occasions where you guys talk about how the edits go, favorably or unfavorably. If you have two shows that are being recorded at the same time and you see that Onyx had her insect outfit weeks ago, like a month or more ago, and you're going to put out a new episode of All Stars, maybe you just cut that comment from Michelle out so that she doesn't say that it's elevated, because by comparison, it's not. I've actually been disappointed with Evie most of this season. Her entrance look I appreciated, but I feel like she's pulling a Jujubee in UK versus the World, where like she half-assed it for the first part of the season and then like came at it in the end half, and I'm waiting for Evie to get to that second half like Jujubee. Now that's different than Shay.
Ma'am.
Shay,
we gonna fight.
Shay's runway this week, they did not have any commentary from Michelle on that, and Shay is normally glorious. There's no denying that Shay, 99% of the time, 98% of the time, has impeccable taste. Can't deny it at all. But there are always exceptions that prove the rule, and this week, that runway was the exception that proved the rule. That thing was hideous. The things that were on the train were falling over. They didn't look right. It was bad. It was very, very rough for those two this week.
Have you finished with your wrong opinions yet?
I have finished. Now, whether or not they are wrong will be up for your listeners to decide, but I will still stand by them.
Everyone is entitled to their wrong opinions. It's okay. Mm. It's okay. I did not love the spikes on Shay's train. I do not think that it was a horrible look. And even in All Stars 5, and I was still mad about the way that like Ross critiqued it as crafty. I do not think that it was not a look befitting of the Drag Race stage. And I think that this world has really, I don't miss the days of being able to go to Forever 21 and pull a little black dress off the hanger and walk the runway of RuPaul's Drag Race.
Well, we learned on UK that is not allowed.
No, that's H&M.
I was the concept of pulling stuff up to something off the rack is what I was referring to.
But I'm going back to like seasons like 3 and 4 and 2,
right,
where that was common. I mean, you know, this wasn't a show that you were, I mean, you were the cash prize in season 2 was $50,000 maybe.
So you're saying that you think that Shay's runway this week was worthy of Queen of Queens status and $200,000? Because that, by comparison to everybody else except for Evie on the stage, did not measure up.
No, but this is the thing. Not every single fucking look has to be your best drag. She's doing a category. This is not a competition where one win defines your entire run. I'm not saying it was my favorite Shay look, but I'm also not going to sit there and tear her apart on it. Because, and even Evie's, I didn't think it was an amazing look. I thought it was cool. I thought it also cool. Was a little bit of a harken back to her being on point in her own way, which was very much like a Brooklyn, like a right. Brooklyn Evie battle feud type of thing callback. I don't think that Evie's runways have been, oh my God, jaw dropping. And I don't remember if it was, I had read something before the season started, and it was where the queens had said it was either that they were most impressed with Evie's runways or her makeup. And I'm really hoping it was her makeup, because everything that I've seen after this episode was, oh my God, look at that mug. And her face was beautiful.
She looked better in her lineup outfit than she did in her scorpion outfit. Though I will say, her standing on her toes like that was damn impressive.
Well, yeah. And I mean, it's the same mug. It's just a different outfit in the same episode. If we're talking like the critiques right. or the when they announced the top two. Because thank God they've gotten to the point where they're just like, let's change out of these fucking outfits. Like, and this is something where like, and this was the same critique for Monet that the pit stop had. Some of these outfits are better photo shoot outfits because Bob, and I mean, Bob is Monet's sister, and she, you know, she's being honest about this. That outfit, Monet's outfit, I liked her outfit, but it did not read well on the runway. She looked so awkward and like she was trying to make sure it all stayed in place. Photographed in a photo shoot, probably stunning. But on the runway, it's different.
What I found interesting about her outfit specifically was the fact that it looked so much better when she took the mask off. Like when she came out on the original runway, I was like, okay, this is Mad Max returns to office after a pandemic. But the mask, like I got what she was going for. But then when she was like, when the critiques were going on and she removed it to speak and you got to see more of the detail and like when you were looking at her face, you weren't focused on this mask. She actually, for me, looked way better without the mask on than she had when she had it on. But I agree. If you're talking about photographs, that mask in a photograph is going to look fantastic.
And that's the thing. And that's where like a lot of the looks on the runway, it's tough because they are being so blown out because of the lighting, because you're talking about television lighting versus a photo shoot versus anything else. And with, you know, which you talk Espana, you talk US, I will say this, and it's going to be wrong from the standpoint of a xenophobic way, a myopic way. But Michelle and the US franchise don't give a shit about the franchises in other countries. Well, outside of UK, because that's what they're involved with.
And they haven't gone back down under yet.
Well, I mean, I was thinking about that today. Yeah, I don't think they will be, to be honest, because that has been a highly, highly not well-received franchise. But aside from UK and US, and I'll include All Stars with the US, because, I mean, it's just an extension of it. they don't really care. So Michelle may not. And I mean, honestly, at that point in time,
well, that's true.
At that point in time, she wouldn't know. Evie wouldn't have known. Onyx wouldn't have known. Like, none of them would have known any of that. And it's not. So they were talking demons and monsters, I believe, is the runway you're referring to for Onyx. I like Espana. I just really have not paid a whole ton of attention. And I haven't seen episode 2 since, like, right after it aired. And I'm trying to catch up on it. But
it is an excellent season. I don't speak a lick of Spanish. I need to learn it because so I don't have to read subtitles. But let me tell you,
some of the subtitles don't match up. But
right. But that is season 2 of Espana has felt like an All-Stars, and it's a regular season. It has been fantastic.
I don't know how to sort of agree with you there. I love Espana from what I've watched. I mean, I love season 1.
They had a Transformers robot in the first episode.
I know. Yeah, that's a lot of money to put into hoping to win a show. But anyway, we're not here to talk Espana. I still think it's a fantastic. I think it's the best of the international franchises. I really do. So I agree with you.
Outside of UK. Outside of UK.
Well, I still count that in. I don't count that as an international because of Rue.
Got it. Okay, fair enough. Yeah.
Non-Rue hosted of the international.
Of the non-English.
Well, no, because I still count Canada as an international. Non-Rue hosted franchise brands. Espana is still my favorite. And that includes Canada.
I agree.
Because I don't think Canada's amazing all the time. But anywho, unpopular opinions being spit out of my mouth.
Listen, but I watch Canada for Brooklyn, and that's the only reason I watch Canada.
Oh, yeah, I love Brooklyn.
I do too.
I do love the fact that for season 2 of Espana, they decided that with the amount of times that these queens say maricón, they were going to stop actually translating it properly and just change the word to bitches. And I was like, oh, okay. You don't like the fact that they just call each other fags all the time? Like, whatever. That was my favorite part, was that it was just like maricón, maricón, maricón. It was just like fag, fag, fag all over the closed captioning. And then season 2 rolled around, they're like maricón, 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 and they're like bitches, bitches, bitches. I'm like, that's not. But then when they say puta, like, then that's bitch. Like, something doesn't add up here, subtitle people. But anywho, but when you have something like that, yes, they could edit it out, but at the same time, not everybody is you or I who are watching. Aside from Italy, I've watched every episode of all of the Drag Race franchise. I will probably one day get around to Italy. Italy episodes 3 through whatever, 10, 12, whatever it is. But here's not everybody that watches the US version watches Spain.
That's true. And just as a FYI, if you end up watching Italy, almost all of those episodes are an hour and a half because they cram so much stuff into it. There were times when I was watching that season where I was like, is this episode ever going to end? So prepare yourself before you go and watch. Girl,
that's
the first
why I
season.
Stopped after 2.
Right.
It was dragging on for so long. And I was like, This is a lot of extra shit that I don't need. And like, this is where I commend the US editing team. They know how to make that shit go. They know how to do this. When the queens leave the stage to go to the Untucked Lounge, aka the workroom, they do that little part where they speed up and they put that like vroom vroom sound, right, and like speed up the footage. Dragula does not do that. Some of the international versions do not do that. And I'm like, you realize that you're wasting my time right now, right? Like, well, this is seconds that you could be shaving off. And this is where the editing is different. But it's also because
they include Untucked in the regular episodes.
Well, but not even that. But like, in different countries, editing is done differently. Right. The only place that it's a direct comparison is Dragula, where I'm like, I don't need to sit here and watch them all walk off at normal pace. Like, you're showing me things that I don't need to see, that I don't care about. Let's find a way to make this a breezier, lighter edit And that was Italy. When I was watching Drag Race Italia, it just felt like it felt heavy and weighted down by everything that they included. And I just didn't, like, after two episodes, I was like, this is a lot to read and a lot of things that I don't care about. And then to find out that the winner did not win a challenge the entire season, I was like, wow, that's a choice. But again, we're not here to talk Italy. We're here to talk All Stars. I don't think it was their worst runways. I don't think... I will defend Jujubee on... You've done 47 seasons of Drag Race. You go to UK versus the world. I get that you've...
Listen, I don't disagree with you. Like, she's totally got to do what she's got to do. I'm not, like, it's just it, when you chuckle about it with Jujubee, you have to be able to also point it out in other people. And for me, I feel like as much as I enjoyed the fact that Jujubee sort of half-assed at the first part of that season, I sort of feel like Evie's doing that now.
But this is the thing. We're still in a panorama. And when those seasons, when All-Star 7 and UK versus the world were filmed, we were still in the thick of this pandemic Lovato. That's a lot of money that you are not making by touring, and especially somebody like Jujubee. Mo wants to spend that much money, good on you, bitch. But Jujubee doesn't have a makeup brand that she's launching and that she's making money off of. She doesn't have all these other things. I'm not going to sit here and say, oh my God, Juju's runways were the best. But at the same time, I'm not going to fault her for not spending money on a show that's not giving her a fucking penny. Because this isn't like a US Drag Race where she could win $100,000, $200,000, $150,000, even 10 grand for winning a fucking lip sync at the end of the challenge. She's winning a fucking repeater badge. I wouldn't spend the money either if I didn't have it. I would be like, okay, well, these are probably the first couple of challenges. I'm going to save my money for putting together a couple of outfits. We don't know her life. And whatever the case was, like, that was what it was. I think Evie's drag right now is an elevation of where she was on season 11. Does that mean that it matches up to what we call an elevation for a Shay or a Raja or a Jada? Maybe not. Jinx, it's a fucking glow up because in season 5 she was a whole different person. So I never like to, this is one of the only things that I will kind of slightly be like, when the Boulay brothers are like, we will not critique your drag because drag is art and art is subjective, I just don't like, I somewhat agree with it. I just want it to match the category. If you match the category and it doesn't look like you hot glued construction paper together, or it doesn't look like you just took gift bags and hastily hot glued them to a corset, LaLaurie, then I'm like, okay. Like, I want it to match the category. I don't think anybody should ever go into or be expected to go into massive debt to have $30,000 outfits to walk a single runway on a television show.
I agree. I just, what I have for myself as a viewer is the expectation when you're getting Queen of Queens that you might come out with something more than a one piece. And stingers.
But was it, listen, that Beedrill cosplay that she did was a Pokemon lover's dream. I don't think it was a bad runway. And I think if she were to win this show, it's a culmination of her 11 weeks of competition and her lip sync for the Crown Smackdown. That is any queen, I don't think there is a single queen that has won the show in the US that you can tell me has not faltered or had a runway look that maybe wasn't their best.
Oh, I agree with you. And I feel like this is Shay's week where that definitely happened for her. But with Evie, her runway looks throughout the season thus far, for me, have been disappointing from what I would expect from Evie.
I mean, compared to kind of the Hobby Lobby crafty look of her season 11 drag, this is an elevation. She's not of the same quote unquote, I don't even want, like, I feel bad even saying this, because and drag doesn't need to be compared in a compare and contrast Evie versus Jinx versus Shay or versus the Vivian. I haven't loved her outfits per se. Like the Bea Arthur, I think the Bea Arthur was my favorite.
That was
even
fantastic.
The Cardi B look was like, I don't know Cardi B in that aesthetic, but she actually looked like she gave me full out fucking Bea Arthur realness in that first part. And I fucking lived. But there are some parts where I'm like, you know, but do I feel like this is a glow up and an elevation of Evie from season 11? Absolutely. Absolutely.
Maybe it's just that I'm disappointed because I really liked what she did with her entrance look, and I was hoping it would just skyrocket from there. But
see, I don't feel like it's much different. Like, I don't feel like the level has gone down or gone up from her entrance look, especially when the hair would just keep on flopping and coming up and flopping and coming up. Like, I feel like it's an elevation from where she's been, but I don't think she's given us anything. She hasn't broken her own mold. And when you are such an oddball queen, or quote unquote quirky queen, queen of the queerdos, it's very hard to break your own mold. And I think that's the problem. I think that's where maybe you're having a little bit of difficulty in that is she is in her own mold and she doesn't, like, there isn't a way to break out of it so far.
Basically, you're maybe saying we'll that she's it. A Jinx, but in quirky.
She's a season 5 Jinx. Yes.
Okay.
I think Jinx now is a different Jinx.
What's crazy about that is I saw Jinx in person when she came through on one of the roast tours back in late 2019. And the Jinx that we are getting on All Stars is way better than the Jinx that we got on the roast, at least when in Phoenix.
Oh my God. I mean, well, I've seen Jinx drunk and high telling stories in her show, and I was like, dear God, what are you doing? I love Jinx, but there are times where you just don't get the best Jinx on the road. And this was her and Major Scales doing a show. It wasn't a Vaudevillians. When she does, this was an unscripted show, which the haters roasts, they write their own jokes, but it's not a scripted show. I think depending on how drunk or high Jinx is whether or not you get amazing Jinx, mediocre Jinx, or girl, should I put you to bed type of Jinx. But this Jinx on this show is impeccable and honestly just amazing. But that's because they don't let them get too drunk and they don't let them have weed. So,
which has been mentioned, you know, on a couple of occasions for Raja, which, by the way, her runway look was totally giving me Evelyn from Masters of the Universe. And I was there for it.
I was going to say, let's chat about some of the highlights. So obviously Raja was a highlight.
Raja was definitely a highlight. I love a vampire story and I like Trinity. So I really appreciate Trinity's like stake through the body. I thought that was fantastic. Jada was, how do I put it? Subtly beautiful. If that makes sense. Like when she came out in those spikes, at first I was like, this is sort of a retread of last episode in terms of some of her choices. But then you got looking at the detail and what she'd done with it, and I was like, that's really good work. The Vivian obviously was, I mean, I don't even know how to describe that. It was so beautiful.
I didn't love it. I don't know what it was about it. I didn't love it. I didn't hate it. I just didn't love it. I don't know what it was about it. And I'm not a fashion queen. Like, I don't, you know, I get that my opinions are just some random faggot on the internet with a microphone, you know, just talking shit every week. But I didn't I thought it was a pretty look. I didn't think the, like, oh my god, this is like groundbreaking, fashion changing, like, praise that it was getting. I didn't understand it, and that's fine. I didn't understand it the same way.
I thought, like, it took me a moment to warm up to it. When she first came out, I was like, wow, that's something. I wonder if it would have looked better if it had had some sort of either cape or something around the waist that she took off to reveal the legs. And then you have it with, like, without a cape or without a dress or skirt. I can see where you were, like, not in love with it. But once I adjusted to my expectations to what I saw as she stepped out from underneath the arch, because at first I was like, whoa. And then I was like, whoa, this is beautiful.
And that's, I mean, I will not discredit her. I think no matter what, she deserved her win. Abso-fucking-lutely. This one wasn't it for me. I think if there was anybody overall that I thought was best in class in my opinion, not the strongest runway overall, it would have ended up being Raja. Like, I thought Raja was fantastic.
I think, but Raja's runway was beautiful. Like I said, when I saw that, I was like, this is giving me everything from Masters of the Universe and He-Man that I need. It was wonderful. One thing that I wanted to bring up, because I thought it was hilarious. The episode started with Jinx playing OK Hun, which is like
on the ukulele,
which was super cool. But I was like, is she doing this for Vivian? Because if so, this is the wrong season. That was a season 2 song, not a season 1 song. And so I was like, I wonder.
Well, it would have been really mean if she sang Breakup Bye Bye, which Vivian lost the challenge in.
It would have been
really fucking shady.
That would have been shady. That might
Shady bitch.
Right? Exactly.
I feel like when this filmed, that may have been something that just came out. And I feel like it might have been something that was like, hey, it's a little UK thing and it's a current thing. Where when we're seeing it, we've now had an entire other season because season 3 got filmed. Season 3 was probably filmed right around the same time.
Right, because Rue probably, or maybe during a pandemic, was just flying over for the second half and probably did a third season right away.
Yes, because what they did, because there was such a delay, they didn't air UK season 2 during the normal time. They pushed it back, and then after that, they filmed 3.
Right, because that makes sense.
UK versus the World and filmed right after season 3 of UK, and they put season 3 of UK in the normal time spot, or not time spot, but year, like, release schedule. They put it in the normal spot. So everything is all out of whack. But I think at that point, that was probably something that was more in the drag cultural zeitgeist when they were going into the quarantines and the filming of this season. And I think that was just kind of a thing. And it was a little like, oh, okay, UK and Vivian, like, yeah, I think it would have been shady as fuck if she was like, I want to break up. Bye bye. Maybe I'll see you in the next life. I want to make up. Which I think is still a superior song. I still think Break Up Bye Bye is a better song. But again, just me. So after this runway, we got all the critiques. Jeffrey Boyer Chapman is the guest judge. You had a question about Jeffrey Boyer Chapman?
So I wasn't much of a fan of his on Drag Race Canada season 1.
Because you were an uncultured swine.
Well, and like he's done tons of cameos
mm-hmm.
prior, but I'm like, after not being on Drag Race Canada season 2, I was like, what is it about him that has him coming back to this franchise, the mothership, when I don't know if it was considered unsuccessful, the fact that he didn't return for season 2 in Canada, but like, what is the obsession with him by Rue or World of Wonder that keeps him coming back?
Well, I think he's friends with Rue, which is one thing. Two, he didn't, it wasn't like a fan backlash, which he wasn't fired from season from Canada. He had a scheduling issue, which was the same as I think, oh my God, what was her name? Stacy, the from other the judge co-host. Both of them had scheduling issues, which prevented them from filming season 2 because production was shifted because of COVID.
Mm.
So neither of them were able to return for season 2. Does that mean that they'll be back for season 3? I don't know. But it wasn't something where they were like, oh, well, the fans hated you, so we're going to fire you, which I think be a horrible thing to have be a precedent for anything. But it was a scheduling thing. And I think that Rue likes Jeffrey Boyer Chapman. I think that his appearances on the U.S. Flagship show have all been relatively well received. And I don't see him not being brought back as a guest judge, a skitscat person, because he's done The Bitchler, he's done Snatch Game of Love, he's done all different things. And in this case, just being a judge on the panel, I see him being a part of the show. I don't know if he will be back on Canada, but I haven't heard much about season 3.
I like him in the skits. I was just not expecting. And I figured if he'd come back, we'd see him in skits again. I was not expecting to see him as a judge. So I was like, he seems like an odd choice for an All-Stars season where we've got Naomi Campbell and we've got Vanna White. I'm like, this seems like an odd choice.
Ma'am, not you putting him under Vanna White. Oh, ma'am.
Vanna White has a much more successful career than him.
Jeffrey Boyer Chapman is a pretty he's been doing his shit.
I'm not saying that, but she's been on television consistently for 40 years or more.
That one game show.
And you don't think that she's made more coin than most people with that syndication deal? And you know that they're paying her a pretty penny to keep her coming back.
I mean, we're talking 40 years, so we're talking like in the 70s. You think they were paying Vanna White that much money up until maybe the 90s, maybe the 2000s? You know that bitch was not getting her money's worth. They were not paying her what she was worth for many years of the tenure.
She was my first inkling that I might be gay as a kid, because she was the only person that I saw on the farm, because my grandparents loved Wheel of Fortune and would watch it every evening during supper. And so, like, she was my first introduction to someone who looked fabulous in a gown, and I should have realized back then that something was different, because I adored
when you were
her.
Like, I want to wear that dress,
right?
Rather than exactly. I want to take her dress off,
right?
You were like, I want to take her dress off and then put it on,
right? It's like, I want to be able to glide across a room like that.
I mean, I hear you. I see him being a part of more things. I don't know whether or not it's going to be something that I don't know what Canada's future looks like. I would love to see Stacey back. I didn't have as much of a problem with Jeffrey Boyer Chapman on Canada's Drag Race. I think he filled a specific type of role. And I think because he was mean to Jimbo once, I mean, there was some other shit that he said.
Right.
I don't fucking at me, people out there. But I think the biggest issue was him saying something mean to Jimbo and the fucking fandom being like, how dare you fucking say anything about Jimbo? And I think that's really like the big thing. That's really the big. I mean, Michelle has said some ridiculous shit to a lot of people, and we don't fucking treat her the same way. But
right.
Whatever. But our top two All-Stars, we've talked about this already, were the Vivian and Jinx Monsoon. Viv gets her first legend star. She, well, first off, she got her legendary star. Jinx, however, did not get a legendary star because she was blocked. So then after that, they lip sync to Love Will Save the Day, the Jellybean / David Morales remix by Whitney Houston, with the Vivian coming out as the winner of the lip sync. Did you think that the right person won the lip sync?
I did, but for a moment I thought that Jinx was going to win, because whenever I think about Whitney Houston dancing in her music videos, it's mostly shoulder work. And so in the gown that Jinx was in, I was like, oh, they've given her a thing where all she has to do is shoulder work. And so I was like, are they setting Jinx up to get another one? But then I thought that Vivian did what she needed to do, not to pull from another series, but she did what she needed to do. And
she did what needed to be done.
Exactly. Boy, that's a whole different topic, but I have been enjoying Legendary. Seriously though.
Do you want to be a statement? Oh, no.
I thought
if the team that should win does not win, I will fucking throw something through a window.
This season has right been now, very that finale, interesting.
That finale is set up with one team that deserves to win,
so,
and one team that I don't feel deserves to be in the finale.
I did not realize that they dumped a whole bunch of episodes, so I watched them, thought I was caught up, and then found out that there's a whole bunch more out. And so I'm a little bit behind, but so far, with the exception of one team, this has been like Drag Race season 14. It's been something. Anyways, not to detract from Drag Race.
Honestly, like, I don't understand HBO Max's three episodes, one. But I mean, Netflix did this with the Circle as well. They're like, here's three episodes, here's the finale by itself. Like, I don't get that. But the team that should be in the finale, that is in the finale, if they don't win, I will fucking riot. And if you know, you know.
I look forward to watching the episodes.
Oh my God. Did you see the anime ball?
Yes.
With Bob the Dry Queen.
Yes.
Coming in this fucking Sailor Moon with those wings and them.
Yes.
Fucking the anal bead braid, like fucking braids. Yes.
It was so good to see him. And he looked fantastic.
Deshaun in the fucking tuxedo mask outfit. Oh,
girl. Yep.
Anyway, so yes. I even with the fucking alley-oop from Jada. The fucking double teaming to bring the xylophone out. Like, I still think that the Vivian deserved her win.
So I was thinking about that. Like, they since they all could potentially be top two, I was like, Jada probably had that for her own thing if she won it and was going to use it and pull it out and use it. And the Viv probably knew it and was just like, hey, as in the moment. I feel like I thought it was very well done.
I guarantee you that was a little collusion, because they would have had to known about it. And Viv and Jada were probably like, all right, well, if I'm top two, I'm going to use it. If you're top two, just come over and I'll hand it to you. Fucking collusion.
Are you suggesting a secret alliance between Jada and Vivian?
No, because I don't think they're smart enough to pull that off. But definitely collusion in this lip sync. But it was a cute lip sync. I wasn't mad about it. I did not. And it's Jinx's first lip sync loss. The first queen to ever beat Jinx Monsoon in a RuPaul's Drag Race lip sync is the Vivian. Because technically, the final one of... She beat Detox in the semifinals. They did a lip sync at the end of the second to last episode. And she was crowned the winner. So technically, she won that. And then she won the one where she was top two before this. So... This is the first time Jinx has lost a Drag Race lip sync, and Vivian has that distinction now. But after a quick perusal down the line, Viv chooses Mon Exchange to be blocked. So Monet can compete next week and even win 10,000 doll hairs, but she will not be able to receive a legendy, legend, a legendy, legendary star. So
did you see the expression on her face there? Like sometimes every once in a while, you'll be able they will do an edit that actually allows the facade to drop. She did not look happy.
Well, no, I mean, she said it like as soon as she gets blocked, it's game on. And I mean, she's been playing this game hard from the beginning. She's been playing, yep, quote unquote, under the radar, but she's been playing this game hard from the get go. And honestly, I kind of it makes me a little upset. And I'm sure that it's not going to be like she's not going to come out and be a cunt about it. And like she'll roll with it. But if she doesn't, it's going to make me a little upset because, I mean, it's just the name of the game. And it you can't be that way. You can, but it would upset me personally if she was really all up in her fucking feelings about it. So we'll see how that goes.
I think it's great strategy.
This is the moment of the episode where I ask everybody who is on the show with me, who are your top two for All-Star Season 7?
I have been struggling with this, to be honest. I think Jinx is definitely top two. It's easier for me to name four, but top two, that other spot. It could be Trinity or it could be Jada. I just don't think that Shay has done well enough in the acting challenges to, and other people have. I don't think that she can just get by on runways.
All right. We'll now pick one of those two. So do you think Jada? Do you think Trinity? I want your top two.
I would say Trinity.
Okay. I'm still a Jinx stan. I'm still a Monet stan. They are still my top two, no matter what. Those are my peoples, both because I have friendships with them and because overall, I think Jinx has just shown her absolute fucking talent. And I think Monet is playing a very interesting game. And I think that it is a different type of game that Drag Race has seen. And I think it will benefit her in the long run.
Well, and I was looking at it because I was trying to figure out who's like in the lead for having been in the top two the most. And I'm like, Jinx has been there three times. Trinity has been there twice. Now, granted, we're only four episodes in, but like, you start getting that kind of a track record of just getting into the top two and your odds just increase. Like if it ends up being Evie next week so that she gets her star, but then it's either Jinx or Trinity opposite of her, they're still in the top two. And I feel like for the first part of the season, they're the two strongest competitors from a purely top two standpoint.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, Luke, it has been fantastic having you on the Flame On podcast.
Please let our
listeners know. Well, I'm glad to have you on. I'm glad that you reached out and said, hey, I would love to do this because I am all about bringing some new voices onto the show and giving their thoughts, their takes, their feelings about this show. The season has been so fantastic. But let our dear listeners know where they can find you, whether it is your direct socials, your other shows. Where can our listeners hear more from you?
So I have two other podcasts. One is Daytime Confidential. It's been around a very long time. We're well over 1,000 episodes. It covers daytime television, primarily soap operas, which with the remaining four, The Young and the Restless, The Bold and the Beautiful, Days of Our Lives in General Hospital. A lot of times it's discussion about the stories that are going on. The second podcast is Geek Confidential. That is one where we basically cover geek TV and film. We've been on a little bit of hiatus because a couple of the co-hosts had family stuff going on, but that's going to be returning with fresh episodes here soon. And you can find me on Twitter at Luke_Kerr.
Spell Kerr for the people out there.
Well, if you were someone who grew up around people who did canning, it's like the jar lids, but it's K-E-R-R.
Well, go check out the podcast. Show some support. You can find them on any of your favorite podcast platforms. In the meantime, we'll be back with more pop culture for your ear holes. In I think next week will be another Drag Race episode before we do another pop culture roundup. So keep on coming back. Thank you so much for checking us out. You can check us out online on our website at flameonshow.com. You can also check out our socials by scrolling to the bottom of the page. Our Twitch feeds are all there. Our YouTube interview series, all that good stuff is right on our website. You can also find our Threadless shop linked right on our webpage, and our Patreon. You can link right from our website, or you go to patreon.com/flameonshow. And from there, join our Patreon at any of the four levels that are available, including our house level, where you too can become a guest host on one of our roundup episodes, if you so choose. Again, Luke, thank you so much for joining us. Dear listeners, we'll see you next week with more Drag Race recaps. Until then, Bobby Uch.
In 2017, videos from the Pentagon show U.S. fighter pilots mesmerized by a UFO. We've been told that this is the real deal, but I know from covering this stuff, nothing is ever what it seems.
This is f***ing real, and it's not all good.
I'm MJ Banias, and from Something Else, this is Fringe Network, Alien State. Listen now wherever you get your podcasts.